on WBAI 99.5 FM, the voice of listener-supported Pacifica Radio, Pacifica Radio in New York City. The Caldwell Chronicle is on the air. I'm Earl Caldwell, a special report this Friday afternoon. There is no bigger issue in organized labor than that which surrounds the Transport Workers Union. Michael G. Haskins, the chief announcer and engineer of our broadcast, also wears another hat with the Caldwell Chronicle. He often, and from time to time, does special reports. He has this special report this Friday, and we have in studio, from the Transport Workers Union, Mr. Darrell Walters, 15 years a bus operator in the city. Michael G. Haskins has organized the interview. I hand it to Michael G. Haskins to begin this special report. Michael G.?
Thank you very, very much, Earl. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to sit down with a couple of transit employees while they were off the job on their own time and talk to them about their perceptions of the job in general. What they said was so interesting and so different in many cases from what we heard in the daily papers that I had to invite at least one of them to speak to the WBAI listeners. Joining us today, as Earl said, in the studios of WBAI is New York City transit worker Mr. Darrell Walters. He is a bus operator with 15 years on the job from the Michael T. Quill Depot. Mr. Walters, welcome to WBAI, and thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Now, I don't want to spend a great deal of time on this because I'm sure there are other things that you would like to talk about. Nonetheless, let's start first with this unresolved issue, so to speak. The call to go out on strike that came the week before Christmas. How did you and some of your colleagues feel about the decision to go out?
I'd like to begin by saying that no one wanted to go on strike. That was a consensus around the city. But in the days leading up to the strike and the time leading up to the end of the contract, it was evident that the MTA wasn't bargaining in good faith. We were penalized for going on strike. We lost 9 days of pay for going on strike. It was not something we wanted to do. It wasn't a day off. It wasn't a vacation. But we needed people to understand that the workers of the transit union are important to the flow of the city in every aspect of it. Mm. It's been a long time since the strike, and I think we've been taken for granted. We're part of the community, first of all. We don't live in the outskirts of the city and work here. We live in the city where we work. Mm-hmm. Most of us live in the boroughs where we work. Most of us, I would say 80% of employees have set runs that they work every day. And they know their people, the children that they take to school, the elderly that they take to the community centers. So it was almost like going on strike on your family. But it was very necessary to send a message that a fair day's work deserves a fair day's pay. Mm-hmm. And a contract should be negotiated fairly, not in the media, not with threats or name-calling.
How did you and your coworkers feel about it when you were characterized as thugs or thuggish behavior? How did that strike you and your coworkers?
Coming from a mayor that's supposed to be representing us, it's a slap in the face. Once again, it shows the mindset of society. This is a mayor who brags that he takes mass transit to work every day, yet he seems to have no respect for the people that provide the avenue of him to go to work. It It bothers most people because we have feelings. To be characterized as thugs or as greedy or as irresponsible. But again, it was something that we had to do. Not that we wanted to do, but to show the transit authority that threats and name calling is not the way to negotiate.
Mm. What was that final sticking point that, you know, tipped the balance that made you decide, and not just, I don't want to put it as this is just in the terms of Roger Toussaint, but that's why I had you here, because you're an individual, and the people that drive the buses and that drive the trains and that work underground in structure are individuals, and you know, you have your own minds, and you know, you speak for yourselves. What was that final sticking point as far as you're concerned?
Honestly, for me, it was not one, it wasn't a request, or it wasn't one of the points of the contract that caused us to go on strike. It was the attitude. While we were still negotiating, the MTA board was pretty much getting rid of the surplus. While we were negotiating, while we were still in negotiations, that $1 billion surplus that everyone seems to talk about, they were doling it out, giving it here and putting it here and doing this with it. The contract wasn't resolved. How can you just go on with that? You don't make your family's budget and leave out the mortgage. You don't do that. Mm. And it's just the attitude towards the workers were, we were like the, for lack of a better term, the oil filter on the bus. We can be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, Earl, I know you're going to jump in here in a moment, but I just want to ask you this other question. Now, your president is from the Caribbean.
Yes.
A region that is largely represented in many subway and bus titles.
Yes, sir.
You yourself are the assistant business manager of an organization called the Society for African American Transit Employees.
Yes, sir.
That's on the web, by the way, at SAATE.org.
Yes.
Tell us about that and why you and others felt the need to create this group.
Well, I didn't create it. The Society of African American Transit Employees has been in existence since 1968.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I joined in 1998. And
thank you for straightening me out.
No problem. It's a venue that people of color, of African-American descent, can come together outside of your title on the job and work together to give a voice to concerns that we have. We have a union, and going to union meetings is very important. But the society gives us a voice of our concerns. There is an Emerald Society, there is a Hispanic Society, and we have the Society of African American Transit Employees. There is strength in numbers. And my concerns are only mine. But when coupled with people that look like me, think like me, feel like I feel, we can get more done. And that's why the Society of African American Transit Employees is very vital for just the day-to-day dealings with a transit worker.
Yes, it's a fascinating conversation, and I'm like all the other New Yorkers. I go back to what Michael G. said at the top of the broadcast, and it's really the public, the mass transportation system that makes New York City. Take that away, there is no New York City. But the issues of these labor issues are not resolved yet.
Are you worried
that you might have to go back out again?
No. I don't believe that we will go back on strike again, because I think we got forward what we wanted. We wanted to make a point, and
right.
I believe we made it. It wasn't shutting the city down or hurting anyone. The point was, we are a valuable part to this city. respect us. The New York City Police Department, the New York City Fire Department, sanitation. No one questions the importance of these agencies. And the consensus in transit is we are not as important. And that's just not the truth. We take your children to school. We take your parents to and from during the day. We're very important. We're professionals. And we'd like to be treated that way in all aspects, not just when it comes to disciplining. We want to be treated as professionals when it comes to being harassed by the public, when it comes to negotiations for a contract. We want to be treated like professionals because that's what we are.
And it's very true what you say. You do have a crucial job in the city, and yet I understand what you're all saying. This, that, but they put fire and police and teachers and so many of these others, even the garbage collectors and others, and they overlook transit.
Yes, I'm not knocking any one of those agencies.
No,
my point is the police officer rides my bus.
Right.
The fireman
right,
rides my bus.
Right.
The teacher rides
yes,
my bus.
Yes.
There's a joke from The Honeymooners that Ralph Cramden once said that the mail comes through through rain, snow, sleet, because the mailman rides with me.
Right. Yes, very well said.
So,
yes,
so
absolutely.
We just wanted to make a point. The point has been made, and the fact that a contract has not been negotiated yet is unfinished business, as Michael said.
Right.
But we're not alarmed. We feel that they should go back and continue negotiating. They
right.
should continue talking. The MTA put a petition in before the arbitration board to go to binding arbitration. That was rejected, and they were told to go back to talking. This is their job. Their job right now is to try to negotiate a contract. Let's not do half a job.
Right.
If I worked half a day, I'd be reprimanded. Let's not do half a job. Let's continue working. I believe that if they sit down and seriously negotiate, it can be done. The union knows what its workers wants and needs, and I believe management also knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of this local being a pawn for political aspirations, for whichever side. Let's go back and get a contract done.
Right.
And I think, by the way, Darryl, just to piggyback on what you just said, PERB, the Public Employment Relations Board, has
right.
just today handed down a decision to the MTA and to the TWU saying, in essence, go back to the table and continue until you come up
That's
with
right.
a contract.
Go back to work
right.
and get us a contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not nice having this situation unresolved. It hangs over your head every morning when you get up to go to work, every night when you go to bed. But most of the people that I've spoken to, we're not alarmed. Just don't stop negotiating.
Right. By the way, the vote was like seven votes difference between rejecting or accepting the contract?
Yes, it was. It was seven votes that carried the no vote. But
yeah.
there were approximately 11,000 no votes.
Wow.
Yes. Now, there has been a lot of speculation to why there was such a high volume of no votes cast.
Right.
The consensus among most people is that we were using a new voting system, and a lot of people either did not understand it or they weren't able to complete it. That's the consensus.
Is there an understanding among your colleagues that had the big majority of that 11,000 voted that the contract would have been accepted?
That I couldn't say.
Right.
I'm not the qualified to answer that question.
Right. Yeah. Just before you, Michael G., I wanted to ask a question. Just I'm curious. It's an issue that a lot of the policemen and firemen live outside the city. Do most of the transport workers union members, your colleagues from, as you know, live in the city?
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh.
They live in the city that they work, and they, most of the time, live in the community that they service.
Wow.
Most Queens bus operators live in Queens.
Yes.
Most Manhattan, probably not Manhattan, because most Manhattan operators live outside of Manhattan, but most Brooklyn operators live in Brooklyn.
Very expensive to live in Manhattan.
Yeah, probably. Right. And then, you know, other reasons. But
you would think that would count for something, though, wouldn't
you? Yes, you would.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
You would think that we would be embraced a little bit differently by the city. You see us at the grocery store when we're not at work.
Right.
You see us at the PTA meetings.
Right.
You see us in the park.
Right.
And but
plus all of that money is spent back in New York City.
Yes, it is.
And taxed back in New York City.
Well, you would think our honorable mayor would keep that in mind when discussing us.
Yeah. One of the things that the mayor said when the strike happened, he spoke very harshly and actually got into name-calling. I take that you and your colleagues have not forgotten that.
No, we have not. No. We have not forgotten the attitude that Governor Pataki showed towards us also. We haven't forgotten that. You know, these people maybe feel because that they're not running for another office that maybe our votes don't count. But, and I'm only speaking as one individual now. I'm not speaking as a member of the society or as a member of a local. I'm just speaking as a voter.
Right.
And you can be reached anywhere. If you have aspirations of doing something else, 5 years from now, I have the memory of an elephant. And it wasn't kind.
Right.
You could disagree with us without the name calling, without the animosity, without the air of intimidation. You can disagree with us without that. So I felt it was disrespectful, and it could be career damaging.